Thank you so much for joining us today. We really hope God speaks to you through this message.
I was up early last night. It was wondering, okay, are we going to have service or not? Looking at the weather apps and what's happening. And it was like, okay, this morning, they weren't conclusive when things were starting. And so this morning, again, just up early, just keeping an eye out on the weather. But it is so good that we are able to gather together. This morning, I just want to emphasize the fact that this is the last day of our fasting. So for some, if there's anybody here, or there are people here that might have fasted the whole 21 days, you're saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, to break a fast. But whatever length of time that you fasted, whatever amount it was, even if it was just one meal, there are powerful things that happen as we fast and pray. And this morning, I want to emphasize the fact in this series that has begun. It's going to be a longer series because we are going through the book of Revelation. I'm going to be pulling out different things from that. And maybe there are things that you might have thought, you know what, I didn't know that. Or is that going to happen? Or when is that happening? And so I want you to tune in. If you're not here on Wednesday nights, so starting this Wednesday, we're going to be shifting from the 21 days of fasting focus that we had, and the prayer and fasting, especially the last few Wednesdays, we've been focusing on one of those days. And just to touch on some of the things that we touched on of repentance, forgiveness and reconciliation, a hunger for a thirst of God were the first 3 days, intimacy with God. These were different things. We were praying for lost souls. We were praying for Canada, for the leaders of Canada, for church leadership. We were praying for families and marriages. We were praying for the next generation to live for God. We were praying for revival to sweep the land and over the nation. We were praying for unity and healing. So a number of different things, for unwavering boldness and faith. And just in the last, yesterday, we prayed for generational curses to be broken. We were together. Every day, we were together at one point or another. So if you were praying at home on these points, there are also those that came together. And maybe in your home, you were alone in it, or maybe you got together and agreed with somebody else. It's powerful to be together. But today on this 21st day of 21 days of praying and fasting, again, it's never just for self. I love the fact that it's for others. And today, that is the aspect of Jesus Christ that I want to really pull out, is the fact that he loved us and he loves us still. And so sometimes, even when we may be wandering from the Lord, even when we may be apart from God, there's this pursuit of God for you because he loves you. And I want to say this. Maybe you figure, hey, does God love me even when I'm not a child of his? I don't believe in him, or I might think of him, but he's not my Lord and Savior. Does he still love me? You better believe he still loves you. In fact, it says that God demonstrated his love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. While we were still sinners, he died for us, and he loved us because that is who he is. And this morning, if you might feel like, does God still love me? Or even as a believer, you might say, man, I'm struggling, or I've wandered away. Does God still love me? Absolutely, he still loves you. Now, does he care about sin? You better believe that he cares about the sins that may be in our life, that we get rid of those things, that there's changes that take place within us. I've been saying this now for a while. We cannot be practicing sin. If there's a conviction, by the Holy Spirit regarding sin, whatever it may be. And sometimes we put it off and we just say, hey, well, it's not a big one. You know, telling a fib, basically not telling the truth, is lying. We say, it's not a big deal. That we would not be practicing sin. That there would be an openness, as Paul writes. He says, hey, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, give yourself, present yourself a living sacrifice to him. Lord, here I am. I give myself to you as he gave himself for us. He came and he died for you. He died for me. The Father gave his only begotten Son, that if we believe on him and give our lives over to him, we have everlasting life. So this morning, I want you to recognize with this revelation of Jesus Christ, he's the one that loves you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one, they love you. This morning, and I took the scriptures that were given, and today we'll see how the time goes. But as I go through, I don't have many points. In fact, I just have one page. Usually I have three or four pages, but trust me, one page can be a little bit longer. But if we have time, I want you, if there's somebody here that the message has spoken to you on who the Lord was to you regarding these points that I want to make, I want to give an opportunity at the end for a short thanksgiving. For a short thanksgiving. If you're okay coming in front of others or whatever, and you just want to say, I want to say thank you, Lord, because of your love. I want to give you that opportunity. So today, we want to give thanks, and we want to celebrate and acknowledge God's many blessings and give thanks for his grace and love upon us. Hallelujah. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Psalms 100, verse 1. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Can we make a joyful shout to the Lord right now? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing better. I'll tell you right now, I know when it comes to football games, there's some games this afternoon. They're getting close to the end. But you look at those that shout and make a noise over not even a touchdown, but just getting past those 10 yards to get another set of downs, to move down that field. And they're, you know, fans are just so excited, and they make a joyful noise, especially as their team is doing well or there's a great play that's been done. And they make a noise. So I'm going to ask again, can we make a joyful noise to the one that saved us and gave his life to us? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. My first point that I want to make is he is faithful to remove mountains. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just... In your life, there may be an obstacle or there are things, and it may be personal regarding yourself, and there's this obstacle that is in front of you. Maybe it's, I'm working through for the students. I'm working through the exams now, and I've been studying, and I'm just, I'm struggling with my favorite subject, whatever it is, math, right? Some of us, we struggle with math, physics, application of math and science. We have physics, and oh man, I think I mentioned this before, the only subject in high school that I did not complete was physics. Now, I had a choice so that it wouldn't be part of my grade. I think it was, it might have been grade 13 or grade 12. I don't know if it was grade 12 or 13 physics. And Mr. Meisel was our physics teacher. He was a good teacher. He was a great teacher. But there is something about when you don't understand everything, or you're not paying attention, or you're not doing what you're supposed to do when it comes to assignments or studying or whatever. And it was like, obviously, I wasn't applying things. I can remember every week we'd get an exam or a test. It wasn't a big test. It was out of 20. It was always out of 20. Andrew, did you, is Andrew in here? Andrew, you had Mr. Meisel for physics. Did he ever do, you remember those tests? They were always out of 20. You had, there was 20 questions or something you had to answer. And so it was very easy to grade and mark. And so I remember it wasn't very good when you got 4 out of 20. Literally, I remember that number, 4 out of 20. Like we're talking, so multiply by 5 to get to 100, to get the percentage, 20. So 4 times 5 is 20%. I've never received such a low mark on a test. Never. Never. And so it wasn't just 1 week. It was like weeks. I'm getting less than 50% on these different tests. And it was like, this is not good. So by October, it was like, you know what? I better drop out because it's going to affect my grade if I have that and I'm applying to university. So it must have been grade 13. I don't know. But grade 12 or 13. And it was like, so I dropped out before so it wouldn't affect my marks. So did I get into university? Yeah. And I had to take physics in first year because my entire program was science. Talk about obstacles. Talk about obstacles that are in front of us. And so for the students, we prayed this morning for the students that are in exams and are finishing off their semester, praying, God, give wisdom, give understanding, and give understanding so they can apply the knowledge that they have, that they have understood it. I like the fact that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit. One of the aspects of who the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of understanding, to give us understanding. I just say thank you, Lord, for who you are. You are faithful to remove the mountains. Mark 11:22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. This is Jesus talking to them. Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, I'll tell you, I was blown away on Friday night. We went up to Scarborough, to the Agent Court Church of God. And we met up, there was, I don't know, about 100 or so there that night. We were praying together. And so there was different people leading in prayer. We were in agreement with them. But this, we've been going, this is our third year that we've been joining with other churches and individuals for this, as we wrap up this 21 days of fasting. But there was a speaker there. I just want to touch on this. Talk about obstacles. Because sometimes the obstacles that we have are financial. And so, again, it wasn't so much, well, hey, God, we want to build something for ourselves. And so what God had put on his heart was more, not so much to build something, even as a church, for ourselves, but rather, Lord, what is the need in our city? And so he was coming out. I talked to him afterwards, and I just said, hey, you were here at this point because we have major things that are impossible for what God would do here in Niagara Falls. And just I alluded to it just in the last week, that this is not just, that this would not just be a holy city unto the Lord. And the Lord has put Niagara Falls to be a holy city, and the enemy is doing whatever he can to shut that down from happening. Now, here's the amazing thing. Even as this individual was speaking, he was from Ottawa, or he was in Ottawa, and then had moved to New York City, and they were wanting to do this project. And it wasn't for themselves, it was for others. And the issue that they had in their community was they didn't have enough, there wasn't enough housing. We have the same situation now. There's not enough housing. Long story short, this church, this pastor and the church, believed on God for something that would change their community, which we are doing at this point in time. Lord, let this city not just be a holy city unto you, and this region a holy region unto you, but Lord, that it would be a city of light, that there would be a place of gathering, that the light of who Jesus is would be known to all. And this is exactly, it is so far beyond us. And I'll tell you, I couldn't believe how much this speaker, and it was like, okay, this is supposed to be a prayer night, and here he was talking about, I guess, answers, powerful answers to prayer regarding finances that were needed. So here, let me just share. They needed property, and the Holy Spirit said, hey, these are two city blocks. I want you. They're up for sale. The things that are on there are up for sale. I want you to make an offer on these properties. Lord, we don't have any money. Or we don't have much money. How are we don't have? He said, well, if you want, you can just keep driving by and not go for this. You can keep driving by and you will always wonder what could have been. What could have been? Long story short, they bought the property, or they got the finances. Amazingly, the building that they have now, the building that they have there right now has 500 units, I believe, and is worth about $500 million. Almost $500 million. Did they have the money for this? No. But God moved powerfully. Listen, I just want to say this. There are mountains. There's been work done. Not just the property across the street. We met with the owner this past, or the representative of the owner was here on Thursday night. And the proposal was given to them that we had decided, you decided as a church membership. And so there was a proposal given. I haven't heard back anything at this point in time. But you know what? Brother, as you mentioned a few weeks back, Brother Eduardo, it's not our problem, it's his problem. Listen, the mountains in your life are not your problem, they're his problem. He says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, these mountains will be made as a plain. They're going to be made as a plane. They will not be an obstacle. Listen, grab a hold of that. Maybe some of you, is there anybody here quickly, just for a minute or two, or even a few sentences, that said, hey, I'm willing to come stand here in front of everybody, say, this was the mountain, and God took care of it. Is there anybody here? Yeah. Wow, we got a whole whack. Okay, we'll do a few. Short. Keep it really short so that we can get a few more in.
Amen. I want to give God the praise and the honor that he deserves. My middle brother, Andreas, he's moving back from Toronto to Niagara, and they've been looking for a home, and yesterday they signed the papers. So it was a miracle, the right price, the right place, the right location, the right size, and I just want to give God the glory and the honor that he is faithful, that he is who he says he is, and the impossible is possible with God.
Okay, I saw a few other hands. Can you just come up here quick, and then we'll just one at a time. Carrie, you can start. And if there's somebody else, did I see another hand back there? Yeah. So, Carrie, can you come up here just so they can see you on online, because there's people watching.
Okay. Well, the mountain that got moved for me was the mountain of addiction. I was addicted to a lot of substances, and God had moved the mountain for me. And he has kept me strong for the last 9 months, and I want to give God the glory and praise. Now he's got me married and loving my husband and have a great big family, all of you guys. So I thank you, and I thank God for everything he's done.
Praise the Lord. Beautiful, beautiful, powerful. Come on up. Sorry, you got to come up.
Thank you. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Say amen.
Listen,
when we were coming to Canada, I'm making it brief and short, a family of four. I have a daughter who is 24, both of us doing masters. You do the math, you know that international students pay more than residents. And when we started, we're like, how are we going to afford it? I said, God, if it is your will, let everything work out. Every stage we went in the application, it just flew through. And now that we're here in Canada, I'm living on this word. He gives me more than I deserve every day. I just want to praise him, and I'll magnify him for the rest of my life.
Praise the Lord. He is worthy. Praise God. Praise God. Ethan.
So I'm a blue collar. Every winter I get laid off. Past 3 years, there's been no lack. There's been no need. Cupboards full, gas tank full, fridge full. God pulls through every time. You be faithful to him, he'll be faithful to you. It's just the power of trusting in him. I'm unemployed right now. I'm on EI, and bills are paid. Fridge is full. No complaints here. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is faithful. Hallelujah. I have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Can we give the Lord a hand? He is worthy. Hallelujah. Psalms 107 from verse 17, and I just want to make the second point. He desires to save you from your distress, not just to remove mountains, but to save you from your distress, that we would give thanks for his goodness. And there's times where you are stressed out. And it's like, this is so heavy. And I'll tell you right now, the reason that we have stress in our life is because we don't see a way out. And so that's where the stress starts to come in. Let me just read this passage quickly. This is Psalm 107, from verse 17 to 22. And sometimes, listen, some of the stress, just as I get started here with this verse, some of the stress is because of our own doing. It's not just what others have done. It's like, oh my goodness, what did I do? And now there's stress. Or sometimes it's something that we are struggling with or whatever, and it's like, man, as hard as I try, I can't do it. And sometimes we know it's wrong. It says here, I love the word of God. It says, fools, because of their, hold on a sec. My phone is dinging. I'm just getting some pictures from a pastor in India and his service that he had already. They're 11 hours ahead. Anyways, just a little note of aside here if you were hearing that ding. Fools, fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Now, that's pretty extreme place to be in. Because of their transgression, they were foolish. Listen, that can be us at times. Man, I made a mistake. Or I was foolish. I thought this would happen and it would turn out this way, and it didn't. And even because of their iniquities. So it talks about transgression. It talks about iniquities. We talked about that yesterday. What's the difference between transgression and iniquity? Transgression is something you've already done. It's a sin. We've committed sin. And sometimes it's not just the sin of commission, of doing something. Sometimes it's the sin of omission. You're not doing what you should be doing. That is also sin. It's a transgression. But what is iniquity? In Exodus chapter 20, where you have the Ten Commandments, for those that don't love God, there is a curse that is put on up to 3 to 4 generations. So you might say, what, 4 generations before, 3 or 4 generations, there's a curse that's put on. You say, well, where's this curse coming from? It's because they don't love God. Actually, it's God saying, you know what? You're going to reap, and it's going to go to the next generation. The iniquity. Now, let me tell you what iniquity is. Iniquity is a tendency towards doing something. Sometimes some of the issues that you have, you realize, oh, my goodness, my mom or my dad had the same issues, and it's passed on to the next generation. But I just want you to know this. It says in Isaiah 53, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. So for our transgressions, that's where the blood flowed because of the cuts that were made. The iniquity, he was bruised for our iniquities. Those are things that are underneath. They're underlying. You get this bruise. Basically, you have blood that's bleeding inside. That's what a bruise is. It turns different colors, yellow, black, blue, whatever. It turns different colors. It's underneath. He was bruised for our iniquities. Listen, as a child of God, there's things that have been passed down from one generation to the next. And if you know that that's an issue or a weakness for you, you might say, but how am I going to get over this? You don't have to get over it in your own strength. You are going to get over it in what was already accomplished in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. You need to go there. The weaknesses, Paul said 3 times, I asked the Lord to get rid of these weaknesses. This thorn that's in my flesh. And the Lord says, answer him. Jesus answers him. It's in red. That's why it's in red. It's in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 9, verse 12, around there. Might be 2 Corinthians. Anyways, it says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So here's what we do. We go to clubs to get some encouragement from others. We go for therapy, group therapy. We go to the doctor. We go to everybody else. Regarding some of these things, I couldn't believe it. When we first got hit and with the COVID thing and we were, people were cooped up from March right through to June. And you couldn't see, people couldn't even see their families and whatever. And there were stresses, major stresses. And it bothered me. And I'm not saying it wasn't stressful. I'm not saying it wasn't extreme. It wasn't difficult. But Christians, some Christians were saying, you know what? I need some help to get through the stress. And so they decided, you know what? I got to go to the doctor. And the doctor, what does the doctor know? He knows a lot of things, different things. She But oftentimes, their first thing is to prescribe medications. Here, this will ease the stress. Doesn't deal with the root problem, but it'll ease the stress. It's like, that's not how we go. And here, that's the thing. The difference between transgression is a committing or omitting of behaviors. Iniquity is the tendency towards something, the weaknesses that we have. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Second Corinthians. I think it's chapter 9 or chapter 12. Sometimes I get my numbers mixed around. My strength is made perfect in our weaknesses, in our iniquities, the tendencies that we have for something, to do things, the proclivity. He's taken care of it. He's taken care of it on the cross. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. It's like, man, I can't even eat. And they drew near to the gates of death. Man, I just don't even want to live. And so they're at this place of I just want to die. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Some of you have been praying with Prayer Force. You're on the teams, one of the teams for Prayer Force, and the requests go out. I want to take a moment right now. This afternoon, whether or not, as in the weather that may be out there, I'm going to be going to the hospital. I want that we pray for Kathy Wheatner's husband, John, who's in ICU right now. One lung is not functioning. The other one is functioning less than 30%. So only one of the two lungs. So we're talking about a quarter of oxygen getting to his body. Organs are being impacted. And he's at a point where he says, I just want to die. He's only 72 years of age, I believe, 72. To me, as I get closer to 70, it's like, okay, it's not that old. It's not 70, it's not that old at all. It's like, I want to pray. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving to give them before the Lord. Sometimes it might be that we just thank the Lord and declare his works with rejoicing. So, Lord, I just thank you. That which would cause us distress to the point that we would say, I just want to die. Lord, I pray that you will send the word, that there would be healing that would come. Lord, I know that the request has been going up to you by those that are aware of this situation. They've been praying, and the prayers have come up to you. And Lord, they come up. They're stored. Our prayers are stored in the huge bowls. And there's a fragrance that comes. I guess it would be like a liquid. It must be like a liquid, and it gives off a fragrance that comes up to you. Lord, it's rather than going to everyone else, Lord, we are coming to you to do a work where it's impossible, because sometimes we try everything else first before we come to you. Forgive us. So, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, for this impossible situation of the lungs, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that whatever is causing those lungs not to function, whether it's they're dead, that this one is dead, or it's incapable of functioning, I speak function and life into those lungs. I speak function and life. He can't get enough oxygen. He can't get enough oxygen. Lord, like it's like I'm suffocating. It's like I'm drowning. I'm not getting the oxygen to my body. Lord, right now, I just pray in Jesus' name as we agree together, according to your word, by your stripes, we were healed. And Lord, you say you send the word. Lord, even as the word would go out to you and would go to John, it's to say, no, don't give up. Don't give up. but to trust in you, Lord, I pray right now that there would be already an increasing of lung capacity in Jesus' name. Lungs inflate. Lungs fill up. Lungs begin to open, that there would be an expanding and contracting, Lord, even as we breathe in and fill our lungs, and as we exhale and get out the carbon dioxide, Lord. We take in oxygen and let out the carbon dioxide right now in Jesus' name. Let it be for John. Lord, that even as I would go and visit today, Lord, he'd say, I don't know why, but I've started breathing. I'm getting more oxygen. Lord, I pray that you will fill this man with hope in you. His trust will be in you and nothing else. He's giving up right now. We're praying that his faith would increase in Jesus' name. Lord, he is in distress, even physically in distress, mentally, emotionally in distress, to the point that he's just, I want this to end. Lord, that he would have a word, your word to heal right now. Lord, you are the great physician. You heal right now in Jesus' name and deliver him from his destruction. That he would give thanks to you, Lord, for your goodness and for your wonderful works to him, Lord. That the sacrifice, Lord, that John would give a sacrifice of praise to you, of thanksgiving to you, to declare your works with rejoicing. Lord, I've been with him a number of times, and he needed, as he was going around in his wheelchair, he needed a long line of oxygen that was with him continually. Wherever he moved, that line would be there. Sometimes he would run over it. Lord, I just pray right now, he will not need any oxygen line, Lord, because his lungs are functioning after years of slowly deteriorating. Lord, they'll begin to have new life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Last point. I'm going to call on the worship team to come. And as they sing, you may be in that place. You may be in a place where there is mountains that need to be removed. You may be in that place of distress. Or you might be in a place of bondage. I just thank God for that first testimony to be set free. I just say, thank you, Lord. You have loosed me from my bonds. I will call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 16 says, O Lord, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, I would say according to Philippians, it says that we should bring our... It says, be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4, verse 7. Be anxious for nothing. Your prayers that you would bring, your requests that you have, your supplications that you may have that are just huge. There's no way out. It says to bring them with thanksgiving. To bring them with thanksgiving. You're already thanking the Lord before there's an answer because of who he is. Lord, let there be a thankfulness. This is why the Lord says, don't you be anxious. You should be anxious for nothing, but you bring and you lay your concern on me. Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. The Lord cares for you because he loves you. He loves us. That this revelation will be known to you. So as they begin to worship and praise and feel free to do whatever songs, like Tina, some of these songs are the song that you sang. I think one of them was a new one for me anyways. Maybe not for you, it was new for me. But whatever you guys choose, I know you have another song. I want you to come. And even if there's not somebody to pray with you, let me read this verse again. Can we stand together? Oh Lord, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed me, or loosed my bonds. What is a bond? It's a thing like they're like chains. They're like handcuffs. They limit you. You can't do what you want. You're restricted. They've been taken off. I've been set free. I'm going to offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. So I want you to come. Oftentimes we have the lamb team, we have the elders come and they pray with you and for you. I want you to start to practice this thing of, you know what? Because not always is the elder there or the pastor there or is available to you. You come, you bring that request, you bring that heaviness, that care that's on you, and start to thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you because you care for me. I'm casting this on you because you care for me, and I'm going to begin to praise you. So I want, as you would come, I want you to come right to the front. Let the whole altar area be filled. If the altar area is filled, come in the aisles. I would ask that each one of us, we've got so much to thank the Lord for, his love for us. Come forward, just so they can fit in behind you. You may say, I don't have any weights. Well, if you've been saved, man, we can start to thank the Lord. Maybe he's removed the mountains. He's removed your distress. He's loosened the bonds. Why? Because he loves you. I want to just come and say, Jesus, thank you because you love me so much. So as we sing and worship, and again, I would ask you to come as close as you can to the front so people can come in behind and exalt the Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to exalt you, even in the distress, even in the anxiety. We begin to thank you, Lord, because you will remove the mountain. You will remove the distress. You will take and loose the bonds. And Lord, so we give you praise. Hallelujah. Let's lift our voices to him. Lord, even as we would worship you, receive this worship and praise from our heart, from the depth of our being, Lord. That there be a praise that goes up to you this morning. Hallelujah.
Hey, my name is Felix, and we really hope that message spoke to you. We have hundreds of sermons to check out from wherever you're listening. Thank you again for joining us, and we hope to see you again. Peace.